Well, good afternoon. We're calling, or actually we're logging in from the high desert in beautiful New Mexico. I am Owen, this is?
X.
And we are going to do a God, Guns, and Country podcast today on the differences between the Republican Party platform and the Democratic Party platform. It's going to be real interesting because we're going to cover anything from sanctity of life, gun control, LGBTQ, XYZ, whatever those are, terrorism, and we're going to go down exactly what they want to do, what's coming if you elect a Democrat, what's going to remain if you keep the Republicans in power. But welcome to God, Guns, and Country. Pastor X, will you go ahead and please start us in prayer? And by the way, it is his birthday. He's turned 24 today, and he's looking forward to his 25th birthday next year.
There you go. Father, we just come to you, Lord, and we thank you for the love that you give to each of us, the chance that we have to be able to make these decisions, to be informed, to have wisdom, and Father, as always, to have free choice. May you give us all that wisdom so that we can act on it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So X is going to start with the first issue, which I figured he'd like to do, and that is the sanctity of human life. So what's the difference between the Republicans and the Democrats?
One's pro-life, one's... Well, I mean, it is really, because the Republican platform I'll just read it. It says, quote, "They're proud to be the party that protects human life and offers real solutions for women and strongly opposes infanticide, or the murder of babies, of infants. supports the following Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which is basically, if you survive the abortion, you are protected. A ban on abortion at 20 weeks. So once you hit 20 weeks, they cannot abort you no matter what. A ban on dismembering or dismemberment abortion. And for those of you that don't know what that is literally where they go in with, if you can imagine, dental tools and rip apart the baby in the mother's womb and pull it out limb by limb. A ban on human cloning or creating experiments upon human embryos, this including the three-parent embryo. So those of you that want to know what that is, that's where, like, say you want blue eyes, blonde hair, and you want them to have your father's lips. So they can go through and they can take three people's different DNA sequences and make, if you will, a designer baby.
I think they're doing that in England already. They got the three-parent babies.
Yeah. And it's really scary when you think about it.
Wow.
The Republicans also support a ban on the sale of fetal body parts. Yes, you heard that right. Fetal body parts. So if you guys will remember when Kamala Harris was the DA in Southern California, she charged a reporter because he had video of Planned Parenthood admitting that they were selling infant body parts that were ripped out of mothers.
Oh, wow, I remember that.
And so instead of dealing with Planned Parenthood, because this is supposed to be wrong, she went after the reporter. But nonetheless, the use of public funds to promote or abortion or to fund organizations such as Planned Parenthood. So that's... You're talking about a Republican platform here of really, truly stopping the killing of babies, all in all. There's other options, of course. I'm a product of that option. Adoption. I'm a product of adoption. And so that is always an option. Now, if you vote for the Democrat platform, and this is their own platform, this is not something I'm making up. You know, I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke up your dress. I call it like it is. The Democratic platform is this. They're calling for government-funded abortion on demand through all 9 months of pregnancy. And they plan on doing that by repealing the Hyde Amendment. That amendment bars federal money from elective abortions. Okay, so... They're saying we reserve the right to kill that baby up to 9 months. Okay. Wow. They want to overturn federal and state laws and policies that impede a woman's access to abortion. So in other words, You know, I don't know how many of you guys know this, but like in our state, during this lockdown where everything was shut down, you couldn't go and get your knee operated on, or like in my case, a hernia operated on, but you could access an abortion clinic. You know, and so any kind of law that would say, I think Louisiana just had one of theirs turned over where they basically said, look, if you're going to perform abortions, that's fine, but you have to have admitting privileges into a hospital, which to me would seem to be a safety thing, right?
Yeah.
You don't go to the family doctor to get assistance. Yeah, to have a heart surgery, you know. You want to be able to get into a hospital. And this is their quote. We will continue to stand up to Republican efforts to defund Planned Parenthood.
Well, see, what it gets me is Planned Parenthood is pretty much, it's technically abortions. They don't talk you into keeping the baby. They want you to abort the baby. Mm-hmm. They give you contraceptives, the Plan B pill. Where's the funding for the opposition? Where's the funding for non-abortion or pro-life clinics that help young ladies with medical care, help them with prenatal care, help them with options like, you know, giving your baby up for adoption? It's very hard to adopt an American baby in the continental United States. Yet there's, I mean, thousands aborted every day. I mean, there's hundreds of thousands aborted every year. I mean, there's options out there. I have a friend of mine and his wife, I grew up with them, and they actually run a pro-life clinic in Colville, Washington. And they started with just a house, a small house that was donated through the church. And now they have a mobile ultrasound unit. They have rooms. They have education for the girls. They help them find jobs. They help them go to school. They help them find tutors so they can keep their babies. Everyone that comes in, and I guess it's right around about 65 babies in the last 3 years they've saved.
Wow.
And they go around to the high schools, and the girls that are pregnant, they do an ultrasound on them, show them the baby. That's one thing they don't do at Planned Parenthood, is show you the baby, because they know if you see the baby, you're going to want to keep it. Right. There's no funding for places like this. Instead, they fund it for Planned Parenthood, which is technically, just might as well just call it what it is. It's a pro-death baby part selling clinic.
Right.
I mean, they make their money by selling the fetal tissue. They make their money by selling the parts, selling the amniotic fluid. And, you know, it's like you get a lot of athletes that get hurt, and they get what's called a stem cell replacement. Those are cells from a mother's umbilical cord. And it's also a big market when babies are aborted. And that's where a lot of these guys get this stem cell treatment. They can't do it in the United States. George Bush put a stop to that. So they go to Brazil, they go to Germany. A lot of wrestlers, John Cena, a lot of football players, they go and get these. Ryback was another wrestler that did it. Went and got the stem cell, and it grows your cells back tissue-wise. So you got the Republicans, they're trying to embrace the sanctity of life all around. And you got the Democratic Party and their hippy-dippy ways, wanting to get an abortion up till 9 months. They don't care about the state laws. They don't care about the state sovereignty. It's big brother, big government. And my topic is redefining marriage. Now, the Republican Party, real simple, the American family is the foundation of civil society. And the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man, one woman. We condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges, and we urge its reversal, whether through judicial reconsideration or a constitutional amendment returning control over marriage to the states. What had happened was, when Obama was president, this went through, and it allowed any kind of marriage to take place. Man, woman, woman, man, woman, woman, man, woman, tree, man, chair.
And if you think that didn't happen, it happened.
Yes.
Really, truly.
And then with the Democratic Party, on their platform, they support the redefinition of marriage through the court's judicial activism in Obergefell that recognized LGBTQ people and have the right to marry the person they love. Now, under the term person they love, the problem is it can be redefined to include
dogs,
children.
Oh, you mean pedophiles?
Well, no, they're considering that as a lifestyle choice. That's just like you're in love with women, you're in love with men, you're in love with children. That's what they're considering.
Wow.
So if you vote the Democratic Party in and you've got kids, you're nuts. It's real simple. You're crazy. Because if this passes and becomes a normal thing and someone falls in love with your 8-year-old daughter or your 6-year-old son and gives them enough candy and says, I want to marry him, they have a legal right to do it.
And if you don't think that's possible, look at Greece. In Greece, to be a pedophile actually gets you disability benefits.
Yes, because they consider it a mental issue. Homosexuality now was at one time considered a mental disorder. It's not. It's a lifestyle choice. Pedophilia, gender dysphoria is becoming lifestyle choices.
Mm.
And then alcoholism and now has become a disease.
Right.
So the people that run the psychiatry, it's called the DMS-5. They're just completely back-ass words, so to speak.
Mm.
But with the redefining marriage, it's real simple. It's one man. It's one woman. It's not a man and man. It's not a woman and woman. It's not a man and a dog. It's nothing of that. We go by the Bible on this podcast. It's real simple. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I don't know about Eve and Mary and Linda or, you know, or Tyrone or whatever she's, whatever her girlfriend's name is, whatever. It's just man and a woman. It's real simple. And if you notice, there's less and less houses nowadays with the man and the woman.
Right.
You know, you'll see.
And it's cost problems.
Problems. Yeah, yeah.
Even Obama admitted that it increased the chance of a child being ending up in prison.
Yes. And that, well, we're going to move on to that. Well, let's, we're going to skip real quick over to criminal justice questions since you had said that. Should the U.S. end the cash bail system? Now, the Democratic Party said yes. The Trump administration platform, Republican Party, said no. And the Green Party said it had nothing to do with green stuff, so they didn't care. What that is, is there will no longer be bail available for people doing minor crimes. So if somebody...
Like de Blasio.
Exactly. So if they steal your car or they steal your truck, they'll be out. If they...
So you're saying they'll get arrested, taken to the jail...
And let out.
Video court and out.
Correct.
Wow.
There's no bail anymore. That's the cash bail system. They want to completely do away with it. So unless you shoot somebody, stab somebody, or you put somebody in the hospital, or even rape to a certain amount of a point...
Right. It has to be a certain degree.
A certain degree gets let out automatically.
Wow.
And then you're talking about, you know, kids having issues, going in prison. It's going to be a complete nonstop cycle if this is done. So, like Obama had said, it's going to be a problem. That's a Democrat saying there's going to be a problem to it. Now, the next topic we got is, X going to love this one too, religious liberty versus the LGBT agenda. And then we, as churches, and I know there's some pastors listening because I got some messages from you. This is very important for you to talk to your congregation about.
Right.
Because if you want to stay out of the politics, you're welcome to do so. But don't blame the system when the next thing you know, you have to have a certain amount of people in your congregation, you got to perform gay marriages, or you lose your nonprofit. I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
So X is going to talk about it. Let him tell you the absolute truth on this.
So here's a Republican platform when it comes to this. Quote, strongly supports the freedom of Americans to act in accordance with their religious beliefs, not only in their houses of worship, but also in their everyday lives. So if you guys will remember, the Obamacare mandate is a good example of this. It said, you know, you had to provide the Plan B abortion pill. You had to provide abortions. And there was religious groups that hired and said, hey, look, man, we can't do this because it's against our religious beliefs. And they won. They had to fight, but they won. The second quote from the Republican says this, we value the rights of Americans' religious leaders, so that would be you, pastors, to preach and Americans to speak freely according to their faith. Republicans believe the federal government, specifically the IRS, is constitutionally prohibited from policies or censoring speech based on religious convictions or beliefs, and therefore urge the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. So if you guys will remember, the IRS was weaponized against churches and against 501c3s. The Democratic platform is completely different, as you can imagine. It says, It claims that LGBTQ, I'll refer to them as the alphabet soup community. That's how I've always done it. That ain't going to change. The alphabet soup community, their rights trump religious freedoms, and they reject the misuse of religion to discriminate.
So you can no longer preach.
Romans chapter 1.
Okay.
Right? And that would be considered hate speech according to the alphabet soup folks. And they will punish, listen here, they're not even playing around. Listen to what it says. They will punish faith-based organizations that contradict, or I'm sorry, that contract with the government and pull 501c3s or their tax-exempt status of religious universities without transgender bathrooms and showers through imposing federal non-discrimination protections for all alphabet people. Now, let me just say this. If you think it'll end here, you're mistaken. Because most people thought that once Obama's era, when they did the gay marriage, they thought that'd be kind of the end of it. And many people, myself being one of them, said, no, you're going to see this slide into pedophilia. You're going to see this slide into bestiality and things that we never even thought of. And shortly after that was passed, what you had is you had women marrying trees.
Well, you missed the last little part on it. It says, federal non-discrimination protections for all LGBT Americans on the basis of their gender, which now there's, what, how many different genders? 65?
Something like that.
Yeah. 65 different genders, sexual orientation, and gender identity.
Hmm.
Now, if you people that know, sexual orientation can be, I like men, I like women, I like trees, I like squirrels, I like little boys, I like little girls. Gender identity is, hell, you could feel like a man one day and wake up and you're Shania Twain and damn, I feel like a woman and go to the women's bathroom. Now, X is talking about the bathrooms. I can tell you from personal experience, I went to a college in Washington State. Now, I grew up, these are the guns and hunting and fishing, and there's a lot of hippie dippies over in Seattle. And, you know, God bless them, they're still God's children, but they passed that gender equality in the bathroom thing going on state level. I go to the bathroom. I think it was in a science building. And I went to go to the bathroom. And I could not find a marker for the men's bathroom. And I thought, well, what the hell? You know, there's got to be a men's bathroom somewhere. So I go up to the next floor, out the elevator, next floor. And I'm like, would they pull all the bathrooms out? Or is there something new that I don't know? And
the
one of the
shells.
Yeah. They say demolition man. So I went to get a soda and some snacks to put in my backpack. And one of the professors goes, yeah, he come out of the bathroom. And I said, well, what is it? He goes, well, they're all gender neutral bathrooms. I said, well, what does that mean? He goes, they're free for alls. There's no longer a boys and a girls. They're just one bathroom. And you share the stalls, there's urinals. So I go in there and I really had to go to the bathroom. I'll be honest with you. I had to do a number two. So I go to the bathroom and I could hear a girl spraying perfume, girl's perfume. My God, I hope it was a girl. In the stall next to me, taking a number two. And for me, it was, I called it a day, got up, and I went back to my home, went to the bathroom, and I was late for the next class, but I'm not going to do it.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of men that go in there after the little girls, and the girls have a tendency not to go in there when there's men in there. So the girls want their own bathroom, too. It's the ones that are confused, these gender identities or these shamalis or whatever you want to call them, and, you know, LGBTQ, XYZ alphabet people that are confused about their identity. Maybe give them a closet with just a hole in the floor. And they can do whatever they want to do with it and put perfume and makeup on, but separate the men in the bathrooms. But this is going to go nuts. They've done it at a Target, and they used to do it at Walmarts.
Well, I would say to you guys this. If you're parents or grandparents, could you imagine your granddaughter going into a bathroom followed by a guy, an adult male? Would you be okay with that? In all honesty, would you be okay with that?
With a camera phone, because remember, back in the day, you go back about 10 years ago when I was just starting my bachelor's program, when they started this, the camera phone wasn't what it is now.
That's true.
It was like the iPhone 1 and it wasn't. But now you can take 3D imagery. You can take, you know, night pictures. You can zoom. I mean, these things are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. These cell phones. I don't have a super cell phone, but I take pretty good pictures with an iPhone 6, you know, and I'm just saying,
yeah,
you know, the new ones nowadays, they can slip under the stall, take a couple pictures, and they're on their way out the door. I mean, and personally, if I'm in the bathroom and I catch someone doing it, and I catch one of you guys doing this, or there's kids in there and you're doing something, I'm going to shred you. I'm just telling you right now that you're going to look like an abortion, because I'm going to tear you limb for limb, and I'm not going to sell your body parts. I'm going to put you in a trash can, and I promise you that. So, in getting on to the next one, the religious liberty, like X was talking about, if you don't vote the Republicans in, as churches, as Christians, Catholics, Protestants, Jehovah's Witnesses, I'm talking to you Mormons, I'm talking to everybody that has, even your Satanists, it's real simple. They're going to change the way you preach and what you preach to go along with what the government's whim is. It's not going to identify with what you want as your religious freedom.
Right.
And if you don't think they can do it, what happened during coronavirus there, Pastor?
Well, they tried to shut down all the churches. They succeeded, really, in, I'd say, 99.9%.
Except for one in New Mexico. And I bet you can't guess which one didn't close and who the pastor of the church was. So it takes some really big huevos not to go along with the status quo. Now, next one. Conscience, rights, and health care. Mm. The Republican Party supports the conscious rights of doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and health care plans that do not want to participate in morally objectionable services like abortion. They support the right of parents to determine the proper medical treatment and therapy for their minor children. They don't let big government, they don't want big government to tell you how to take care of your child. Now, on the Democrat side, they support the coercive HHS contraception mandate against faith-based groups like the Little Sisters of the Poor. And I don't know if you remember that case.
Mm.
Okay? But it's a nun organization.
An orphanage, wasn't it?
Yes. And they were forcing them to give the kids contraception and provide abortions for their staff. These are nuns. They get none. That's why they're called nuns. None. But it went against them and it went to the Supreme Court. They also, the supports of the Obama administration redefinition of sex discrimination to include abortion and sex change operations.
So you're saying that if a person wants to become a woman, if you're a man and want to become a woman, nobody can talk differently. Even though when you get a sex change operation, the chance of you committing suicide is upwards in the 80 percentile.
Well, if you belong to like a, you're a church leader, and you have there's a couple female assistants with the kids, and one keeps cracking out them abortions left and right. That's contradictory to what the church preaches.
Ah.
So they can't, and if you let them go and say, hey, listen, you need to stop with all the abortions, you know, getting them, then they can turn around and sue you. On the other part, with the sex change operations, if, say, example as you open up a shop and you're doing oil changes.
All right.
And you got
Fred.
Jimbo comes by and, hell, he's been doing it for 20 years. He's going to do it for half the price. You can donate his time. You're like, wow, man, show up on Monday comes up and truck pulls up. Hear the rumble of his big old diesel. Out comes a dude in a dress with a blonde wig on. It says, today I'm not Jimbo, I'm Janice. And he has fake boobs in. Now, you're probably going to laugh. You're probably going to laugh, but the guy's got a full beard on.
Wow.
And people that come in are going to see you or Janice. And if you discriminate by putting Janice in the back where she can't be seen, or saying, oh, you're going to stock tires today or something, that's considered discrimination according to their sexual orientation. If you have a Hooters girl, and people go to Hooters for the wings, and then the next day she's dressed like a lumberjack, a frumpy lumberjack with a mask on and a wig, you can't let them go. Hooters has a complete uniform. It has a code. It has a certain dress, certain attire, and you have to fit that to work there. And you make X amount of dollars. It's not a strip club. It's a restaurant. Women are scantily clad. They're all very healthy young women. And they make a lot of money. And most of them are college students. But even in a church setting, say you put someone in you're like, hey, we want you to help with the youth group.
Right.
And then you go ahead and do background check. They have nothing on them. Hey, they're great. But when they go home, they're Lola Falana or whatever. So you come in Sunday. And you're sitting down and you go to the pulpit and you see this woman sitting there. She's getting ready to teach, you know, junior church. And that's the guy you hired. Or the woman cuts all her hair off and You know, and
Sinead
O'Connor's. You can't do nothing if the Democrats are elected because they will sue you. And there was a case in Seattle where, and it's, you can look it up on YouTube, guys. Look up Flip Out and GameStop. And you will see.
Oh, yes, I've seen that.
This dirty blonde-haired dude walked in, dressed up half like a female, and walked up to the counter about games. And the poor guy behind the counter kept calling him sir. He flipped out, trashed the store, sued GameStop, got $250,000.
He won.
Because he insulted him by calling him under the wrong pronoun. And that will happen in the churches. Pastors, people of faith.
Wow.
You know, I'm all for rights. I am. But you have to draw a line in the sand. You know, and our people in the service, you understand this. There are perimeters. There are borders. You don't let the enemy cross over a little bit. Yeah, just because you want to give them a break. They cross over the border, you teach them a lesson, you take them to the shit.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
There's certain perimeters or certain borders or certain areas they don't go. There's certain zones. Okay? We have to have them the same type of zones in government. You cannot cross these lines or you're going to have a problem. Even in the military, this is the part that's hard on this. This particular thing you're talking about, X, applies to the military. So if you're in the military and the person has their head shaved, you don't know if it's a man or a woman, and you say, hey, what's up, dude? And you know, in the military, we talk like Army people and Air Force. I don't know how Air Force does, but Army, we're pretty rough. You say the wrong thing, you can get sued.
You in the military, sued.
Yes.
Not just a fist fight.
You know, you can be sued for calling someone the wrong pronoun if this passes.
But see, and that's the thing that blows my mind. I mean, many of you guys remember Arnold Schwarzenegger's film Kindergarten Cop. There was a kid in there who said, very simply, boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. It was the Arnold Schwarzenegger's partner came in and said, I see you're teaching them the basics. These are the basics of life. Call it what you want. If you got an Audi, you have an Audi. An innie, you have an innie. Boom, done. We're done with that conversation. And it should end right there.
Here's one for you. God and government. First, I would like you to say the Pledge of Allegiance for the Democratic Platform Party, and then I will say the one in the Republican Party.
You want me to be a Democrat? Oh, man.
Come on.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, with liberty and justice for all.
Indivisible with liberty.
Live indivisible. See?
It's even harder, isn't it?
Yes, it's harder.
So the one we grew up with is, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, which we covered our last podcast, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. They actually cut out under God at the Democratic National Convention.
Every time.
Every time it was said, and it was planned. It wasn't an error. It was taken out of their platform. And in their platform, real simply.
Well, their platform is they want God removed. They want God removed. In fact, I sent an article to O day before yesterday from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who went as far as to say that Jesus was a con man.
Just like Trump.
Just like Trump. He was a con man and a grifter, just like Trump. Now look, man, you don't have to like Trump. You don't have to. I get it. Whatever. But I will say this. The moment you start calling Jesus a con man, the moment you start denigrating the Son of God and God the Father, you are going to have issues. Because here's the reality. Our Constitution was written upon the God-given rights. In fact, the Republican standard says, or the Republican view platform says this: if God-given natural inalienable rights come in conflict with government, court, or human-granted life, God-given natural inalienable rights will always prevail. Can you give us an example of that? I'll give you a chance to think of it. I'll read the other one. It says, we support the public display of Ten Commandments as a reflection of our history and our country's, get this is proper, this is right, our country's Judeo-Christian heritage. And we will fight for school choice and local control.
Prayer.
Okay.
The right to pray, the right to read the Bible that no longer exists in the school.
That is a God-given right.
The right, the Great Commission, the right to, you know, on, not on school time during class, but during lunch, during recess, when you are on a break, when you're at work and you're clocked out of your work, you should be allowed to express your faith.
Right.
You know, if the person doesn't want it, you don't pursue them. You know, but you can actually, you have a freedom of speech.
Right.
You know, and they can't control what you say, what you speak. But
and when it comes to school choice, it's very interesting because
no.
There's, all right, we homeschooled our children, but a lot of folks that I know sent their children to Christian schools. So these are usually small schools, maybe 30 kids, 40 kids, and they are taught all your basic reading, writing, arithmetic, science, and the Bible. And the goal is to give that child a moral upbringing. Now, what we found is with homeschool and with private schools or, you know, Christian schools, the students were actually heads and shoulders above anybody coming out of the public school system. Now, this isn't a knock on the students. This is a knock on the system. Because if you can't invest into the student, you have no way.
So they make a big deal, the Democratic Party especially, with the Ten Commandments.
Right.
So one of the basic fundamental tenets of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with teaching kids you right. shouldn't kill?
Or steal.
You shouldn't steal. Honor your father and mother. Father and mother. Not father and father, not mother and mother.
Right.
Father and mother. What's wrong with honoring them? What's wrong with a little honor? No stealing, no killing. I mean, I don't understand what the problem is with that particular line of thinking. And the next one, next subject. So the Democrats, real simple, no God whatsoever. Nothing. No God. So if you believe in God, whether you're a lukewarm Christian, hot boiling Christian, Mormon, Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, whatever, they want nothing to do with God at all.
Right.
Okay, the next one is real simple. Supreme Court. We support the appointment of judges who respect traditional family values and the sanctity of innocent human life. So we're going back around to that sanctity of human life. The Republicans, they seek to enable courts to begin to reverse the long line of activist decisions, including Roe, Obergefell, and the Obamacare cases. It's funny, when Obama was in his first term, Barack Obama actually said marriage is between a man and a woman. Those are his words, not mine. Those are his words.
Right.
When he won re-election, that's when all the sheets came off and the lipstick went on, and he rainbowed the White House. It was on the cover of, and he was considered, according to Time Life books, the first gay president.
Wow.
Well, that's for another week. We'll cover King Kong with the snuffer lip eventually. LeVar Jackson or whatever. We'll cover that. So they seek to enable the courts to begin the reverse a long line of activist decisions, including Roe versus Wade. And the Democrats, they will appoint judges to protect a woman's right to abortion and a progressive agenda of equality for all in which LGBTQ rights trump religious liberty.
So they're appointing activists. They're not appointing judges. They're appointing activists.
They won. The problem is that I understand civil rights. I understand amendments and acts that bring someone like the African-American culture and giving them their God-given rights, because that is a nationality. That is a culture. What you do with your private parts should have nothing to do with a culture or a subculture.
Right.
That's what you do with your private parts is your business behind closed doors. I don't want to see it in parades. I don't want to see it on my TV set. I sure as hell don't want to see it on Disney. And Disney's got a brand new show with the bisexual Mexican kid. And then you got, I mean, even Star Wars has a kissy-kissy scene between two of the same sex.
Right.
You know, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see what other people want to do with their private parts.
Well, and I think you hit it on the head when it comes to the alphabet soup community in particular. That is the issue, right? If sexuality exists, which we know it does, what you do in your bedroom is up to you. It doesn't become an issue until you start parading it and flaunting it in front of everyone else. And that's problematic. That's what the problem is right there. So let's, again, we kind of touched a little bit on school choice and why it's important. One of the things that...
Well, you know what they mean by school choice.
The ability for you to get that money that would have gone to your traditional school.
Being in Florida, Jeb Bush, the governor at the time, took over first. They called him Lawton Childs. And he was just a nut, Democratic nut job. God bless him. But Jeb Bush took it over. And the schools are so bad in Florida, he said, you know what you get? $6,843 for each student that goes to school. We're going to send you a check in the mail payable to the school of your choice. That will pay for transportation and the schooling and the lunches for the whole year. And parents, for the first time, kids that were in bad schools or schools performing poorly, they put them in the good schools. In Manatee County, there's a Southeast, the Manatee High School. There were six other high schools that went out of business. And the Manatee and the Southeast got all the kids.
Wow.
And that's for the whole Manatee County. It's huge. It's enormous. It's like the city of Albuquerque. And it has Sarasota and it has Manatee and Bradenton. But they got all the kids. They got all the football players. They got everything because they were top notch. And the Democrats hate it, but that's school choice. Say your kid is having issues and say he's autistic or say there's a problem and you want to send him to a charter school that specializes in it or something. You got the check. It's your will. You can do whatever you want. So right. If your kid's getting picked on, not only, you know, and when you go in and say your child's been bullied, they don't care. But you pull that $7,000 out of that school and you watch
how quickly actually.
Oh, that you got their attention. But that's what that means by when they're talking about school choice.
Well, and I want to throw one more little aspect.
Or here's even a better thing. The thing that's on the books for the next term of Trump's president. If you're homeschooling and you're going to be responsible for your child, you get the $6,800 a year.
Which would have helped tremendously. I tell
to
you
spend
what.
On the child for computers,
yes.
Pads, books, online things, internet.
Well, and I can tell you, I have been homeschooled two children. That is a very hard thing to do. But you do it. You do what you got to do.
Well, they did it in Florida. A lot of the kids got homeschooled after that. And they had even... Next to the Family Christian Bookstore, they had a homeschool store. And that's all they did was sell homeschool stuff.
Wow.
Because they got a check. You get $7,000, you could buy your kids some really nice things for school.
Yes. And it should be that way because you know it's going to be taken care of. But I want to add one more part in there. The Democratic platform is, quote, "We believe a strong public education system is an anchor for our democracy," unquote, for all children. Now, here's the problem. Right now, what you see in Seattle, what you see in Portland, what you're seeing in Chicago, what you're seeing in California, what you're seeing in Kenosha, right? These are the products of this quote-unquote public education anchor and the college anchor where they are no longer teaching history, where they are no longer teaching civics. And so the idea, and I'll be very honest with you, a lot of schools right now are toying with this the Lincoln Project, which they want to give you a BLM history and remove the rest of the history that is being taught in schools. Folks, if that is not politically driven, if that does not scare the heck out of you, there is a serious problem with that. And I would never, I would crawl on my knees 100 miles to teach my grandchildren then send them to get a public education where they are ripped off from real history and civics.
Do you remember, I don't know how many years ago, but you said you were a fan of... I don't know if it was King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah.
It was King of, when they pulled the Alamo out of the history books because it was too violent in the Texas schools.
Yeah.
They even made it onto a cartoon because the people in Texas had rioted. They're like, listen, that's part of our, it's part of our history.
Yeah, yeah.
But they pulled it out because it was too violent. Now, the next part, the little part about sex education. The Democrats promote condom-based sex education where the Republican platform says supports sexual risk avoidance education that sets abstinence until marriage as the responsible and respectable standard of behavior. So one teaches abstinence, one doesn't. One is a sexual risk avoidance. So
which I believe is better.
They're teaching you how to avoid it, where the Democrats, in middle school, you can get condoms. You can go to your nurse, get condoms, you can get Plan B for free.
It was a 13-year-old at a Bible study at one of the schools that I was teaching, a Bible study at lunch, a 13-year-old who was pregnant. 13. Ladies and gentlemen, this is wild, man. And it's because that year they happened to remove the abstinence education and replace it with condom. Now look, man, every male out there, every female out there has had an experience at some point in their life. And they know that this is a bunch of lies.
So what else are they teaching kids in schools, by the way, Pastor? The younger ones.
Well, I'll tell you, the scary part is I actually saw a video where they were teaching first graders how to masturbate.
Yep.
First graders, how to masturbate. And that it's perfectly acceptable to do so because you're only healthy if you do. They teach them how to put the condoms on a banana, how to enjoy anal sex. These are little kids. Dude, at first grade, I was still playing with G.I. Joes, man. I was still playing outside and making mud pies and trying to wrap my bike off of cement bricks. You know, anal sex and masturbation was the farthest thing from my mind. And when you start sexualizing these children at such a young age, you put them in a position to be groomed for pedophiles.
And it makes them think about something they shouldn't be thinking about.
The Bible explicitly says, do not awaken love before it's time. Right? Don't do it, because once it's awoke, it's awoke. It's a monster. All right, so social experiments in the military. This is pretty wild. The Republican platform says this, quote, "We reject the use of the military, which is a good thing, as a platform for social experimentation and will not accept or continue attempts to undermine military priorities and mission readiness. Quote, military readiness should not be sacrificed on the altar of political correctness. Okay? Supports the religious freedom of all military members, especially chaplains, and will not tolerate attempts to ban Bibles or religious symbols from military facilities. And they oppose the selective service registration of women for a possible future draft." Okay, that's the Republican side of this. And I will say this. Hands down, I think that this is very important because political correctness can be very damaging, because you want to know that whoever your battle buddy is, whoever's got your six, can actually get your six. They're not just there because they have to fill a quota, you know, to satisfy.
So what do you do if you're in the theater of aggression and, you know, a couple people in your platoon or your group there, you know, all of a sudden they're like, you know, I don't know why we're here. I don't know why we're doing this. These poor people, you don't want to hear stuff like this. You either kill or you be killed.
Right.
You either do your job or they're going to do a job on you. But you run into a couple, and I'll be honest with you, I went in the military as a military police officer, and we had a couple in there like that. You know, they're like, well, why are we doing this? Why are we, when we were firing, we were doing our first set of qualifyings, and they called them Ivan. And people were really offended at the fact that we were calling all the shooting dummies Ivan, you know? And so when I was done, they switched half of them over from Ivan to Muhammad because we were having problems with Iran at the time. And so they were, you know, some of the people in my company, they're like, yeah, well, them poor people. And I'm like, them people put a bullet in your head. Them soldiers, especially the Russians.
Yes.
They'll put a bullet in your head. They're going to blow you up. I mean, no offense, but either you kill or be killed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But they put political correctness in there. And, you know, they want the uniforms to be gender neutral.
Right.
They want the weapons. They really, really, really would like to phase out automatic weapons.
Could you imagine being in a theater and having to fight with a, you know, single shot bolt action or something stupid because they want to get rid of semi-automatic or automatic?
Yes.
You know, and one leads to the other, folks. It really does. And they do. They want to open up. Well, this is what it says. This is the Democratic platform right here. I'm just going to read a small section of it. Our military is the strongest, which it includes people of all sexual orientations and gender identities. So we right now we could say we agree, even though it is what it is. Such as paying for gender sex change operations and allowing men with gender dysphoria to use the women's showers, barracks, and bathrooms. Ladies, if you are serving, I am sorry that you had to endure that if that's what they want to do, because this is wrong. But here's the crazy part. This includes the push for elective abortion coverage in military and veterans benefits. If you have ever served and you have tried to get any kind of coverage in the VA, I don't care if it's to get your toenails cut because you can't bend over because you jumped out of too many airplanes and your knees are shot, okay? You can't even get there to get your toenails cut, but once every 6 months. But they want to start covering gender.
They already cover, after Obama, they cover sex changes. I had a class,
wow.
I'm not joking with you, and it was a gerontology class at the Care of Senior Citizens. And the teacher was a black, fat black lesbian, and she had different people of different orientations in there. I happened to show up late for class. I had twisted my ankle. I was in a walking cast, and the guy sat next to me, and he wanted to touch me. And I'm like, well, I don't know if he was new to the class or what. I said, brother, I don't know what's going on here, but you got the wrong one here. And then so I sat down, and this beautiful, 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 and I'm being honest with you, beautiful Filipino girl gets up and starts talking about how anal sex. So I'm a completely, now I'm listening, like, what the hell is, I got to the good part, apparently. She's talking about all kinds of sex and positions and her favorite. Here, she was an Air Force. He was in the Air Force and got a complete sex change, courtesy of Uncle Sam. Cheekbones, chin trim, boobs,
what?
The whole nine yards. And the to give you an idea, the job that the amount that she had done, she had $64,000 in surgery done back in the 90s. That was so good that I had friends that were like, am I still gay if I have sex with her? I'm like, well, yeah, it's a man. You know?
I shouldn't laugh at that, dude.
And then the question came up, and they're like, they asked this female male thing, you know, how do you get, she goes, I usually get straight men. She goes, because they don't care. She goes, once I get them worked up and lights are out, they go right for the butthole. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. But they do, they've done sex changes since Obama was in office.
Wow.
And the government covers everything. And then they, but the thing is with the bathrooms, that's a new thing. That's something they're trying to do. And it also, what's funny is, it talks about gender dysphoria, and it also talks about your gender identity.
Right.
So what if you identify that you know, you want, you know, you're a guy one day, and you want to go shower with the girls. Girls want to go shower with the guys.
Well, you know, you're going to cause its own issues, because they also cover the barracks.
Yeah.
You know, so you're talking, could you imagine? No, dude, it's not going to be good. And I love all you guys, but I'm going to tell you right now.
It'll disrupt morality. It's real
big
simple.
Time.
And they want to repeal the don't talk, don't ask, don't tell. Real simple. What you do with your private parts is your own business. I don't want to know about it.
Right.
I want to know if you can serve. I want to know if you can do your job. And if you're in the infantry, God bless you if you can kill real good. You know, I don't want to know about what you do at night. I don't know what you want. I don't even want to know what you think about at night. You know, if you want to talk about somebody, get a podcast or go outside in the woods and talk to the trees or something. But there's no place in the military for openly talking about what you do with your private parts unless you're dating the person or you've had too much to drink and you're out on leave.
Parents party.
But they want it to be repealed so everybody knows what each other is. And there's some people that aren't comfortable with it.
Right.
You know, if I'm in a platoon and I got three guys that are gay and they're trying to be effeminate, I don't need that in a war theater.
Right.
I don't need that in the theater of operations. I don't need that. Oh, my fingernail. Oh, I'm hurting. And they start crying because poor people are getting killed. I don't need to see that. It's nothing personal. And you know that with gender dysphoria, they take on the attributes of a woman.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're serving in a company and there's guys getting female hormone shots,
it changes them.
It changes you. You know, that's not good. You know, and I'm very outspoken on that.
Think about what they put. Think about the poor medic. All right.
Oh,
that medic. If you go out in your field of operations, right, and you go out there, that medic has to carry everything that is necessary for each one of these individuals. That, and so that's extra on your medic. Your medic has enough. Okay, your medic has enough. He has to deal with all the regular stuff, and now you're going to throw this on him too. If you have three or four folks that are
changing.
I mean, come on, man.
You know,
I'd much more be happier that my medic has enough bags of blood and everything he needs to keep people alive.
You're in a tank. You're in a fighter jet. You're in a C-130. And your pilot is getting confused and starts crying and doesn't know if he wants to go on the run or the tank. I don't want to aim the weapon. I had my shot. I'm very emotional.
Jeez.
Picture that. If you're hunting and your buddy starts crying and goes, "Oh, I'm transitioning to a woman. I don't want to
hunt." I'm going to trip him and smack him until he's knocked out.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But there's a huge contrast between the Republican and Democratic Party. We're going to continue this next week. We got more stuff to go through. Real simple. The last one is terrorism. The Republican Party calls it like it is. Radical Islamic terrorism poses an existential threat to personal freedom and peace around the world. We oppose its brutal assault on all human beings, all of whom have inherent dignity. This is Europe, this is America, this is everywhere. Now, we're not talking about all Muslim people. We're talking about the
radical terrorists.
Radical Islamic terrorism. It's a small percentage, but since there's so many Muslims, you know, you're looking at 100 million people.
Right, right.
And then the Democrats believe in defeating terrorism and combating climate change. Yeah. And they link climate change is just as important military-wise as defeating terrorism.
Well, you know, and that's one of the foolish things that we have here is we have this false idea, right, that climate change is on the side of terrorism, but it's not. It's two totally different things. And when you have Islamic terrorists that are willing to try to kill you. If you guys remember Charlie Hebdo, the dudes made a cartoon, and from that they wanted to go, and they did. They succeeded in going and just blowing stuff up and shooting stuff up. What does that have to do with climate change? Look, man, if you look at the cycles of the Earth, what you have is you have this repeated cooling and heating cycle back and forth. It has nothing to do with terrorism. And when we as Americans stop fighting terrorism, who else is going to do it? Number one. Number two, the target of these in particular, these radical Islamic terrorists, the target is the West. Mm-hmm. This is why they refer to the United States of America as the Great Satan. And so we are the target. Second, of course, is Israel being, you know...
The little Satan.
Thank you.
And they figured if they can start this war, that their great imam or whatever whoever is going to come from the sky.
Twelfth
imam is going to come from the sky and save them all and do their thing. So they have a very radicalized version of Islam. So the Democrats are very light on it, this is a true fact. Trump broke the deal with Iran, gave them embargo after embargo, and gave them all kinds of tariffs and just made their life a miserable. Obama brought them a boatload of money.
Right.
150, was it million or billion?
I don't remember. I just remember it was pallets
of cash. Obama. To be friends and sign the accord with them. That's the difference. We're going to do part two next week. We have a whole other thing on gun control and crime. It's going to get really interesting. X, will you please close us out in prayer?
Sure. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to speak. And Father, we lift up our soldiers, both here in country and those in other theaters, Lord God. May you give to them wisdom. May you protect them. May you give them peace. And Father, we lift up police officers, we lift up firefighters and EMTs, Lord God. May they also have wisdom and peace, Lord, and may you just give them that extra bit of grace as they deal in these areas where people just hate for the sake of hating, Lord God. Let them know that they are loved. Let their families know that no matter where their loved one is, that you are watching over them. And God, I pray that you would give them rest. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Next week, God bless you all, part two. Thank you, have a great day, and God bless you guys.